Hi, everyone, and welcome to I Dreamed I Was Human,
the radio show.
I'm your host, Carolyn Gervais.
And I'm your co-host, Doug Gervais. And today, that's right, we're beaming you to other realms.
Boy, I guess we are. As we step out of this, are we in a spaceship now?
I don't know. I think we're on a transporter deck or another planet. I'm not
sure. We step out of this, what we call normal everyday existence, into the other side of what lies in front of our physical eyes.
So you hang on to your hats, ladies and gentlemen.
And prepare to experience, through my eyes, parallel lives in alternate realities.
And you may be saying to yourself, well, this sounds like it could be really interesting and fun, but what does it have to do with me in my everyday life?
Well, we're going to demonstrate how we are all connected to and even influenced by parallel dimensions. And we'll also explore that it is possible to consciously access alternate realities and to realize why we have these experiences and how they benefit our lives.
Yeah, and furthermore, you definitely are going to want to stay with us today for what will be a show that's way outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
And on this journey, Carolyn will share a magical, mystical, otherworldly experience of her own.
I think you're building it up a little big there.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe. But
It will be what it will be.
It'll be what it'll be, and I know that something kind of special at least is on the way.
We hope so.
Well, but before that, a little bit about the real brains behind the show, my partner and my lovely wife.
I love it when he says that.
She does. I can see her head swelling from over. No, that's not true. But my lovely wife, Carolyn, take a bow. She's the author of the book, I Dreamed I Was Human, Awakening from the Illusion. And you can also find her intuitive messages appearing in the world-renowned Sedona Journal of Emergence magazine. And that's both in the print and online versions.
In fact, you can see my prediction message for the new year entitled How the Power 8 Can Empower All of Us in 2015. And you will see that in the January issue of Sedona Journal of Emergence. And on our last show, we told you we'd see it in the December issue, but it didn't work out that way. So for sure, it will be in the January issue.
Yes, so look for that one. It's going to be a good one. You're going to want to read that for sure. You can also see more articles by Carolyn in other metaphysical spiritual publications, in print and online. You just have to search Carolyn Gervais. And did you know that Carolyn has more than 35 years' experience in the field of metaphysical spirituality?
Wow, I've been around a long time, huh?
Around the block. Excuse me, a couple times, but that's how you get that wisdom behind your ears. Or
that's
no, I mean beyond your ears, whatever.
Between your ears, hopefully.
Yes.
Go ahead.
She is certified also in spiritual psychology and clinical hypnotherapy, has a master's degree in holistic nutrition, has sung professionally for over 25 years, and get this, was a gold medal winner in the Poughkeepsie Olympics as she set a new world's record for the kitchen triathlon, winning the spatula toss, rolling pin relay, and the frying pan fling.
Well, you better get it straight. I mean, after all, you got this from Wackipedia, which I think is just another extension of your brain.
It could be. It could be one of those alternate realities we are speaking of.
Yeah, because I never did that in this reality.
No?
No, I don't even know how to
fling a spatula?
Fling a spatula.
Or, yes, toss one either.
Or do a relay with a rolling pin. I can't even picture that. But
could have been another Carolyn Gervais. Could have been in another reality.
Yes,
that's what this subject
your reality
is.
Too.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Well, seriously, though, on this show, as on every show, we're digging to uncover just more and more of what it really means to be human in this dream called life.
and without looking through the rose-colored glasses. In other words, we like to give you a more practical look at spirituality and how to use it in everyday life.
Indeed.
On our show, I Dreamed I Was Human, we combine metaphysics with spirituality and a whole lot more. During the next 60 minutes, we'll bring you information that we hope will trigger questions and answers.
Yeah, and on a different note, the song you heard at the beginning of our show, that's called Let Love Take You Higher, is just one of the original songs on Carolyn's CD called Face in the Mirror, written and performed by Carolyn. Plus, you can find out a lot more about Carolyn by going to her personal website, Awakening You, and that's awakeningyou.com.
Some of my services include motivational speaking, soul path plans, and soul path plans are just another way of understanding ourselves through what we have chosen through our soul to bring to this world and use to become more aware of who we are in this life. And you can find out more about that on my website, awakeningyou.com.
And when you go to the website, I just wanted to mention this too, huh, that there are lots of testimonials from other clients who have had the Soul Path Plan experience, and you'll see those there, and they're very complimentary, to say the least.
And also, I do metaphysical life counseling and dream interpretation. But before we get into our main topic today, I want to let you all know that I love to answer your questions. And I know you hear me say that all the time, but it's true. And I love to hear your comments. It just kind of tunes me into something and all this stuff starts coming in. So I love it when you ask questions.
That's for sure. So don't be shy. We would love to hear from you. And that's going to, you can either call us or go to the chat room. And I'm going to have that call-in number for you a little later in the show. Now, before we get into the main course of the show, here's a little appetizer called, ready for this one, hon?
Yeah.
The Cosmic Fun Corner.
Well, what else is there?
But fun and cosmic.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? You ready for this one? You already said that.
Yes.
Okay. Well, an eager young Buddhist monk walks up to a hot dog vendor and says, "Make me one with everything."
Well, I can't say I agree with all that, but...
Well, you know what?
It was great. Thank you, audience. Thank you.
You bet. Yeah, no, they're right. They're right with us today.
Yes, they are. Yes, they
well,
are.
And you know what? I guess what that Buddhist monk might be also finding out is that he's relishing every experience he has.
Probably is.
Yeah, no. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Well, and here's some news from guess where, hon?
Wikipedia.
That's right. You nailed it. That puts a new twist, though, on something called, and we're all familiar with this one, the Bermuda Triangle Mystery. Well,
yeah.
Researchers have discovered, just east of this treacherous energy vortex, what they're now calling the Bermuda Circle.
The Bermuda Circle. I have not heard of the Bermuda Circle.
Well, that's true. That's
you get first-hand experience from Wikipedia, don't you?
I do. I find all the late-breaking news from Wikipedia.
That's great. So okay. Let us find out about that.
Yeah, well, let me explain.
Okay.
So in the Bermuda Triangle, you know how that works, that ships and planes have gone missing for, you know, decades there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the Bermuda Circle, things actually are spit out. Things are manifesting from the circle rather than disappearing.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's right. So in recent days, scientists have discovered...
Or rediscovered.
They've discovered and recovered...
Oh.
Get this. 7 swans swimming, 6 geese laying, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, two turtle doves and
a partridge in a pear tree.
Yeah, how'd you know?
Lucky guess.
Well, you nailed it again.
Well, I usually do, so at least I'd like to think so.
Well, okay, and this has all happened just in time for the holiday season. I thought that was kind of a nice little holiday miracle.
That is. It's so amazing that Wikipedia had this waiting for you at such a opportune moment, yes.
Well, as promised earlier in the show, here's that call-in number that you're going to want to call with your questions or comments for today's show. 347, that's area code 347-989-8218. Again, that number is 347-989-8218.
And remember, too, you can go to the chat room if you prefer.
That's right.
Sometimes people are a little shy to call in and
rather just go
to the chat room. That's
we'll talk
fine.
To you either way.
Right. The first thing I'd like you to know on our show today is that more and more renowned scientists and metaphysical practitioners are theorizing and proclaiming that multiple existences are real. Did you know that, Doug?
I did know that. But
yes. I mean, and that is a very profound thing to me because it shows me that we humans are growing and expanding in awareness. We're not afraid to unfold these new things that are possible for reality. In other words, there are many different aspects of all of us. This is what the scientists are really saying. There are many different aspects of all of us, what some might call our other selves.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you have
Dr. Michio Kaku, noted theoretical physicist, says the critics concede that hundreds of wormhole solutions have now been found to Einstein's equation, and hence they cannot be lightly dismissed as the ravings of crackpots.
Okay, and we see Dr. Kaku on the History Channel 2 quite
mm-hmm.
frequently, and other Science Channel 2, I believe.
Right, and you can find him on the Internet as well. He further adds, what lies on the other side of a black hole? If someone foolishly fell into a black hole, will they be crushed by its immense gravity, as most physicists believe? That's a hard word to say. Or will they be propelled into a parallel universe or emerge in another time era?
You know, what's interesting here, too, what you just said about the black hole and going into it, crushed or not, the latest Matthew McConaughey movie, I think the theme of that movie is something about going through a black hole.
I think it is.
So we're right with the times here.
That's right. These are things people are thinking about and believing that are real. So, unlike what most physicists are theorizing, from my experiences, I would have to say that moving into parallel lives and universes is a shift in the vibration of a person's energy on some level of consciousness, which could even mean we don't necessarily have to move physically through a black hole or wormhole to be in a parallel realm. Energy can go anywhere and experience anything at any time, and it does. And it still be manifested as a body with or without our conscious awareness. Why? Everything is energy. When someone is in a coma, for instance, there's very little brain activity, but they have now found out that doesn't mean consciousness stops. It's still working on another level of consciousness. So what I want to say is that because energy is energy, energy is from the creative force, the creative source. That energy creates with what can only be imagination or thought. Otherwise, it has to put together certain concepts in order for it to be a picture or a coalesced energy comes together to form a particular manifestation or picture. So that's why I say we don't have to go through a wormhole, I don't think, a wormhole or black hole to experience a parallel life and have a body. Because when we go to sleep at night and we have a dream, we see that we're in our body. We don't question that. We don't say, oh, is this my real body or is this a fake body? No, we just assume we're there, this is us, and we're in this frequency at this time. We don't even call it that because the dream seems like we're really experiencing it, and we are. We are really experiencing it. And so the body doesn't have to be this physical body that we see in a dream or in an alternate reality. It can be a manifested form of our body that is in other frequencies. So our body can look just like the body we believe to be our only body here on Earth. And we do have other bodies that look like our bodies. For instance, the astral body. There are people that say that when we see a ghost, we could be seeing the astral body of a person that looks like their body when they were on Earth. Well, the same goes when we're in a parallel life. It's like being in a different frequency realm, and there we are again with ourselves, because wherever we go, there we are. We now can experience something that we will call reality, because as long as we are focused in where we are and what we are experiencing, that is reality.
Right. Wherever you have your dial set, just like our radio station or the internet address, in this case, for our podcast, or a radio station that you go on over the air, you dial into that specific number and you hear certain things and you're experiencing things. Yeah, very much the same.
Okay, and now I would like to tell you one of my parallel life experiences. And I can only call it that because I don't know what else it could be. And I had this experience when I was 21, way back before scientists ever thought of parallel lives and alternate realities and probably even wormholes and black holes, I don't know. But I know they hadn't thought of us having parallel lives, other aspects of us living on other frequencies. But this experience happened when I was 21 years old. My grandmother, who was my dad's mother, had a stroke and was in the hospital in a coma. My two sisters and I went to visit her one day just to talk to her and be there with her. They did not expect her to wake up or to live because the damage to her brain was pretty bad. And they knew for sure that the speech part of her brain was damaged. And so we're sitting there talking to each other and then talking with our grandmother and reminiscing from when we were children and the things we did and the fun we had. During that time, I was thinking about the last 3 years of my grandmother's life. I really didn't go out of my way to see her, but I did see her, but not as often as I should have. And the reason was, at 17, I became pregnant by my boyfriend, who also became my husband. After I had my son, when I was around my grandmother, I felt she was ashamed of me because she never brought up anything about me getting pregnant and all that. And in her time, that was a really shameful thing. That was a thing that families did not tell anybody. So I assumed my grandmother thought that way because my father kicked me out of the house when he found out I was pregnant. So if my father was ashamed of me and my grandmother is his mother, then she has to be ashamed of me as well. And to top it all off, she never even noticed my son. It's like we'd go out to lunch, and my son, I'd sit him in a high chair between my grandmother and me so that she could be closer to him because she didn't see him that often. She never looked at him. She never touched him. She never talked to him. And that really hurt me because this is my baby, and my grandmother is pretending he doesn't even exist. So that means to me she wishes he wasn't here. And so that made me not want to be around my grandmother very often. And I know I hurt her by not being around her more often. But it was something I had to do. I felt I was protecting my feelings and possibly my son's feelings. My sisters, I was thinking this, and I saw my sisters get up at the hospital, in the hospital room. I saw them get up and leave the room, and I figured they were going to go get coffee or go use the restroom or something. And I thought, wow, this is my chance to tell my grandmother out loud what I've wanted to tell her for the last 3 years as to why I felt the need to stay away from her as much as I did, and to let her know that I am so sorry and that I love her so much and I'm so sorry that I hurt her. And suddenly she opened up her eyes and she looked at me and I said, Grandma. And she's looking around like, where am I? And I said, you're in a hospital. You had a stroke but you're going to be okay. And, you know, you probably won't be able to speak very well. So don't worry about that. Everything's going to be okay. And she panicked. My grandmother was never in a hospital or went to a doctor from the time I was born until she died when I was 21. And so she hated hospitals. So she started tearing out the needles and tubes out of her body. And I'm trying to stop her, and I can't because my grandma's pretty strong. And so I go call for a nurse. And the nurse comes in, and she tries to stop my grandmother from pulling anything else out. And she washed off where she had pulled needles out and stuff and put Band-Aids on them. And I'm holding my grandmother's hand. And I says, it's okay, sweetie. It's okay. I'm here. And I love you. I love you so much. And she tried to mouth the words, I love you. I mean, she tried to say the words, I love you, but she couldn't. I said, it's okay, sweetie. I know you love me. And I want you to know how sorry I am that I didn't pay more attention to you. And I explained to her why, that I felt she was ashamed of me. And she just kept looking up at me as I explained this to her. And I told her, I said, thank you for being my grandmother. And thank you for being so loving and nurturing towards me and my sisters. And I love you. And if you have to go, if it's time for you to go, it's okay. And she closed her eyes and fell back into the coma. And I noticed my sisters were in the room. And I said, oh my gosh, did you see what Grandma did? She woke up. She opened her eyes and was trying to talk, but she couldn't. She pulled out a bunch of needles and stuff, but she opened her eyes. And I talked to her, and they said, Carolyn, what are you saying? We never left this room. We've been here the whole time. I said, you didn't leave? They said, no, we've been sitting here the whole time. And we didn't experience that. We didn't see Grandma do any of those things. But we're sure that you experienced that in some way. Because we all, in my family, we're all kind of metaphysical and kind of weird. So they believed me. But I have to tell you, I was flabbergasted. I could not understand for sure what had just happened. But I knew this, that God heard my desire to tell my grandmother when she was conscious how sorry I was and how much I loved her and was going to miss her. And she got to hear that while she was awake, and I got to say it to her when she was awake. And so I know now and sometime later after that, that that was another experience, another frequency level of experience, the same experience. I looked still like I looked. My grandmother looked like she looked. She was in a hospital, but she was awake in the other parallel frequency. She was awake, and I was talking to her. She didn't go into a coma that I know of. So I know that was a gift from her soul to my soul and from the creative force that directed the whole experience. And I thanked God for that gift. And
yeah, and, you know, I still get a chill when you tell that story. It's mm-hmm. really neat the way that it's like your two souls were wanting to connect with each other, to
yes.
communicate.
Yes.
And it created this connection.
Portal, you
yeah.
might say,
portal,
or a frequency,
yeah.
a frequency
yeah. so
to open
could.
Up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. That's what we humans do. We are in contact with each other all the time, especially the different aspects of our soul. We are constantly reacting and giving out messages to each other on unconscious or subconscious levels. And sometimes those messages and those that information actually becomes conscious in us when we experience them. Now, there's this other wonderful scientist that I'd like to talk about that I love, and his name is Max Tegmark. He's a professor at MIT and one of the world's foremost physicists, and he states that it is a mathematical certainty that we all have an exact double somewhere in what he calls the multiverse, who thinks and looks just like we do. This is another reason why I say that we are living in a dream, and that's the name of my book, I Dreamed I Was Human, because anything and anything imaginable and thinkable can and will happen, even if it's not on this frequency level we call the now. It can still, and it is happening on another frequency level, because whatever experience we go through, whatever we do in that experience to resolve it or to understand it, that is how that experience ends up. But that experience is being experienced, that same exact thing is being experienced on a parallel frequency, and everything is exactly the same, but the outcome is different. Because if we have in our mind all these different outcomes of how something can end up, then those have to play out somewhere in the universe through our other aspects, our parallel selves.
Hmm.
Because it's energy. Energy has to express. When we think of something, that is expressing somewhere, even if it's not in what we call the here and now. So if you have any questions, that would be great if you want to call in and ask me if something you experienced is a parallel life, or how do you know what is a parallel life, and anything that comes to your mind. And while we're waiting for calls, I would like you to tell you a story about this lady that has lived here in Tucson for many, many years. I can't even remember the first time I ever saw her. But she is an example of someone who I feel lives very much in the past of a prior self or alternate reality. And I have named her Annabelle. She is a middle-aged woman in Arizona, where I live. And she walks, people see her walking all the time through the town, through Tucson. And Tucson's pretty big. You can see her on one end of the town. Next week, you see her on the other end of town. And Annabelle walks for miles and miles almost every day of the week to various destinations of her choice. And she goes into stores, all kinds of different stores, and buys things. And she's very different because she looks like a Southern belle straight out of the 19th century. Her clothes are very Southern belle-ish. I just made up a word, I guess. Because the many varied and colorful, the many varied skirts and colorful dresses she wears are very much from that time, that era. And she always has a Southern frilled hat or bonnet on top of her head that goes with her ensemble. And she usually carries a parasol, colorful parasol, that also completes her belle persona. Though Annabelle appears to be tenuously connected to our present century, she does live enough in this time frame to be able to take care of her human needs. Annabelle is seen, like I said, in many different stores throughout the city. She appears to have the means to care for herself, because even though her clothes look vintage, they're not raggedy, torn, or faded. And whenever I have tried to look into her eyes and face when in a store at the same time she is, I see an introverted, quiet woman who would just as soon be left alone. I say that because she seems to care less about making eye contact with any people around her. And I've been up close enough to her to where I've heard her talking to a salesperson, asking her questions about a certain food that she was looking for. And her voice sounded normal, and her personality sounded normal. But I suspected that she doesn't talk to anyone unless absolutely necessary. And it's almost like Annabelle isn't seeing what others are seeing. And many people stare at her because her clothes are so different. And she walks like she's a Southern belle. I mean, but people stare at her as discreetly as possible. But it's pretty hard not to notice a person like that and not want to stare at them. And they do it as discreetly as possible. But I really don't think Annabelle really sees that she is any different than anybody else around her. And I have to applaud and value her uniqueness. And she is just a very precious human being, being herself. It's almost like Annabelle isn't seeing what others are seeing. It's like if she has been transported from another time, another century, into the 21st century, but with a foot in each one. She seems content to live in what is obvious to me an alternate parallel version of self that resides someplace in the deep southern part of the United States near the end of the 19th century, I would say. I say live because time does not exist outside our realm of duality. That is to say, every era is still thriving and alive in another time frequency that we most usually do not see or recognize as such from our present perception in the 21st century. So maybe Annabelle isn't even consciously aware of how much she looks like she is from another century, but she definitely feels her connection with each century, especially that Southern belle century. So is Annabelle living in the moment? She may be. But those moments are being lived somewhere else besides in the here and now of what we call present day. What this could mean is that even if Annabelle is completely conscious of herself in this century, she lives and vibrates in another time frequency at the same time, because that is where she as a personality gravitates to consciously, subconsciously, and on semi-conscious levels of herself in both realities. And that's how I see her.
Yeah, we. It looks like there's kind of a running together here of
emerging of realities.
Yeah.
A way of being conscious in both realities on some level of her being, to where she is living out and living in two realities, two alternate parallel lives.
And it looks like there's a connection here that we're drawing by alternate realities and reincarnation. And that there, you know, definitely some kind of a connection there, that what is reincarnation except, you know, there's no real linear.
Reincarnation is a thought, a concept, a coalesced energy made out of pictures and colors and thoughts and desires.
And you're saying that we're, and as you do in your book, that we're living actually simultaneously in all these different planes
of
existence.
Yes, we are.
They're not really, you know, in linear sequence.
Right. They're all going on at the same time. But because we live in a duality called Earth, and we think in a linear way, this can't happen unless this happens, and so on and so forth, then we had to create some way of telling time.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we'd be so confused, we wouldn't know whether we were coming or going.
That's for sure.
So we created a way to know whether we were coming or going by creating time.
So reincarnation, or the different aspects of what we call our lives, are just another reflection of what you're calling alternate realities. It's just different aspects of ourselves expressing in different ways throughout the universe.
Yes, and we do that because we are wanting to grow and learn and expand in every way possible on this earth, or in any frequency level, in any other frequency of earth. But it's a different, it could be a different time era as well.
And what better way to do it than to have multiple us's?
Us's, yes.
We-uns.
Or you-uns.
Exactly.
Going on all at the same time and learning from every aspect of those parts of us that we aren't conscious of, but still affect us and influence us. And we teach them things that we've learned. They teach us things that they've learned. And when we have a problem and we need an answer to a problem, this is all what I call universal energy. And what that universal energy is still what we also call God.
And maybe some of these voices we hear whispering, you know, or whatever, or our intuitive, our gut feelings and so forth, are coming from our other selves. We might call them our guides and teachers, our you know, our guardian angels, whatever, but could be accounting for, you know, the same thing you're talking about, our other selves.
Because we experience things with our own pictures and what we know and what we've heard, what we've seen, what we believe, and we form a picture of a life with that. And that's why every life is going to be a little different, because every aspect of us and aspect of everybody has free will to create the life they want, even though they are an aspect of this other reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way we expand our awareness. That's the way the universe expands and unfolds itself to become more and more of what it truly is, beyond what we could ever imagine.
Yeah, ever growing, always
ever growing. Yes.
Well, while we're waiting for callers or people coming into the chat room, I just wanted to go over some valuable information here. It's how to order Carolyn's book, I Dreamed I Was Human, and to learn about her services and CDs. Now, I'm going to mention this again. You can go to idreamediwashuman.com, several ways to get there, Amazon, or you can go to Barnes & Noble online to order her book. And you can also learn about, there are many services, and order her music CD, Face in the Mirror, and her toning CD, Cosmic Language of Light, just by going to awakeningyou.com. And remember to follow us here on I Dreamed I Was Human, the radio show, at Blog Talk Radio. Now, you can find out, you can find Carolyn on Facebook by searching I Dreamed I Was Human by Carolyn Gervais. Now, you want to make sure that you search it that way, because if you search just Carolyn Gervais, we found out that there are other Carolyn Gervais out there. So if you want to get specifically to Carolyn's, go I Dreamed I Was Human by Carolyn Gervais. And on that site, you'll see all of the most updated information on what Carolyn's doing, speaking engagements, our next show information, and so forth. Now, also, wanted to mention, too, what our next show is going to be on. Did you want to tell them about that?
Yes. Tell them what our next show is going to be.
Well, not what it's going to be, because we don't even know that yet.
No.
It's going to be a surprise for the new year.
Right. But we do want to tell you that Doug and I will be taking a little holiday break from the show. We think we might end up doing a show in spite of ourselves between now and the new year. But we think we're going to be taking a break. And our next I Dreamed I Was Human radio show will be on Saturday, January 10th. At 9 a.m. Pacific and 12 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. Now, if we decide to do that little unexpected show before the new year, we'll definitely let you know that. And, you'll be able to find all the reports online, messages, I should say, online about when that's going to happen. You can look to Facebook, Carolyn's website, so forth, or just go to Blog Talk Radio and find out the information on that other show.
Right.
Now remember.
And you can see our other shows. Hear our other shows as well.
That's right. And all you have to do that is to go to the archives here at Blog Talk Radio and search any past episode you want.
Okay. Now, at the end of this show, you're going to hear another one of my original songs. Now, this song is called Antikorana. Antikorana is what is also known as the Rainbow Bridge. And that's what connects the physical aspect of us to the spiritual aspect of us. And that Rainbow Bridge is formed as we grow and expand in awareness and learn what we're all about, who we are, what this human existence is about, and what does that mean for me, what part am I supposed to play in this, all of these kinds of things, and study and whatever, meditation, contemplation, help build this rainbow bridge to the spiritual aspect of us. And in that way, we become more and more in touch with our spiritual aspect and what it is wanting to tell us.
Did you have anything else you wanted to, you could tell them about?
Yes.
That?
Anyway, so this Antikorana song, this is what we're going to close with. It doesn't have words, because it's not meant to have words. It's energy. It's just think of it as a rainbow of energy and allow it to pull you in and make you feel good. So,
we're going to close out today. We don't see any other calls or chats coming in. And we hope you've enjoyed this edition of I Dreamed I Was Human, the radio show.
See you next time. Oh.